Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that buys its jokes wholesale. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
Scope Mattis comes to a triumphant conclusion. We review NBC's Minute to Win It. And Shane reveals he's been having an affair with at least four other podcasts.
And now, here are your hosts, Jarrett, Adam, and Shane.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 87. We've done 87 of these things. Just saying it, verbalizing it, Adam.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
I believe this actually qualifies as our fourth year anniversary.
So, everybody...
Because really? I think April 10th was our first show, and so this kind of... is the one right before it, and the next one will be after the 10th. So.
The longest April Fool's joke.
We've been carrying it on for 4 years, everyone.
So yeah, we'll be next show, we'll be in our fifth year of production on The Scope.
Joke's on you guys. I can't believe it. So episode 87 rolls on, and it's fitting that it's our four-year anniversary, because we've got big plans afoot, as you all know if you've been following us on the Twitter and on the Facebook and whatever else. We've been playing a game called Scope Madness. And the mastermind, Jared and Adam, behind that show is sitting right here, right in front of me. His hair is all slicked up. His name is Al, and he loves music. Welcome to the show, Al.
It's maddening.
It is maddening. Al came up with this idea to me, brought it up, and was so excited about it. And I think he's probably shocked that we actually did it.
I am surprised, because...
our follow-through is terrible?
No. I spitball a lot of ideas, and it's nice when... one sticks.
Yeah, well, this one stuck right to the side of the scope, and we're pushing through, and we will have all the results, including our final four songs announced, as well as a champion crowned a little bit later in the show. Before we get to that, however, I was watching American Idol last week. I know, go figure, the show that's going down like the Titanic. Adam,
I have no idea.
People aren't watching it anymore. They're
It still does like 20 million
it
in ratings,
but
isn't it?
I read this, that it's possible that Dancing with the Stars actually beat it in ratings last week, but I'm not positive.
Doesn't stop Simon from bashing other shows or other competitors during the show, though.
He loves to bash, doesn't he? Well,
just loves to feel his own nipples.
Feel his nips.
Yeah.
And right after American Idol concludes, we go right into our local news, as I'm sure happens all across the country on Fox stations everywhere. And normally we flip away, but for whatever reason, my wife and I kept it there. And
so you guys watch that show live? You don't watch it on TiVo or anything?
This time it happened to be live just because I was out and about doing something. So when I got home, she flicked it on and we caught up. And
well, if you caught on EW, you better watch it live before... Ryan Seacrest tweets
Sequest?
About it.
Yeah, Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest DSV.
I think in EW,
that's his new
EW
name.
Reported that he tweeted about it before the Pacific Coast show ran. So a lot of people
they knew
the results.
They have to put delay on tweets now to match.
It's a two-hour delay. Anyway, so there's this news story about a local crime ring going on here in Minneapolis about a guy who was stealing cars. And... I was so fascinated by the interview, that the story, that I grabbed the sounds, trimmed it down to a reasonable length, and then shot it over to Jared, where he used his magical computer skills and fixed the clip. And now we're going to play that for you right now. I want to just see what you guys think about the criminal that...
You're stealing my spotlight with the news here.
Okay. The criminal that was featured on Fox 9 News. Jared, if you will.
Police break up a ring of car thieves they think have stolen dozens of vehicles in the past few weeks. Fox 9's Tom Lydon is here to explain their strategy. Tom?
Well, guys, it's probably not the most lucrative way to fence stolen cars, but police believe it may have been the perfect way to get rid of the evidence. Selling stolen cars for scrap before they're ever reported stolen in the first place. Tonight, we talked to the alleged ringleader.
No, I never forged nothing to be stolen out of.
Jerome Darkow walked out of jail today. A free man, for now.
By the way, you've got a sex offense in Arizona. What does that involve?
I don't have nothing to do with this case.
He's right. For now, he's just charged with receiving stolen property. Getting a straight answer out of Darkow isn't easy.
I'm saying I'm registering them in Arizona, which I never register them in Arizona, because I just buy them for parts and then I end up scrapping them out.
I don't even understand what he's saying.
Police are trying to sort out the paper trail as well in what they say may be the perfect case of grand theft auto.
Perfect.
In which the evidence is essentially... destroy.
Thank you.
That's all I gotta say.
Wow. Classic moment. The guy looks at him and says, he was interviewing him, and there was somebody standing next to him, and the reporter looks at him and goes, I don't even know what this guy's saying. It was an utter classic moment. And
the second interviewee, is that the guy who said, I don't know what he's saying? Or was that the interviewer?
That was the interviewer, and okay. He was just looking at somebody who was right off camera.
I love that they would keep that in the...
He did that on purpose. I mean, that could be the best reporting I've ever seen in my life. Now, I took a picture of the mugshots of the guy that was being interviewed and then his partner, which could be the most ridiculous pictures I've ever seen. I'll try to post those on the Scope just because it's... If you have an idea what he looks like, I think it might be spot on. This guy, very slow and clearly not a very nice guy and a criminal and could be into all sorts of evil things. So I hope he gets what he deserves.
What does he deserve?
Speech therapy. He deserves speech therapy.
Speech therapy and probably dropped off a cliff. That's what I think.
Wow.
And no health care.
Oh.
So anyway.
Healthcare is like voting now. If you have a felony, you don't get the
You don't get it.
Okay.
But you have to pay the fine, right?
Yeah.
If you're not having it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So unless anybody else has anything more to talk about, Adam, anything you want to share? I mean, this is the second show in a row you've been here on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know if there's a lot of catching up to do.
Is there? Oh, you're saying you're
I don't know if there is. Not. I'm asking you.
No, I had a traumatic week involving one of my cats getting outside. And they're not outdoor cats, but that's... I'm still kind of choking up about that.
So. Let's cut to the chase. Is the cat still gone?
No.
Okay.
He was right outside when I left in the morning. I didn't know he was gone.
Just sitting like a moron, or was he
not like
a
moron?
Was he excited to get back in the house?
He was clearly scared,
mm-hmm.
And my theory is that he might have been trying to find his roots. So he might have
find
been,
his roots.
Yeah.
Cats act so tough when they're indoors, but then when they get outside, it's like a whole other ball game with those felines, isn't it?
So he's fine now.
Oh, good.
And but now he always goes by the door, and I don't like it. So
he's found his love.
He's got a taste. Once cats get a taste of outside, especially
spring is here.
Your cat, Mr. Whiskers.
I told him that once I have a house. We can go outside, and I'll set up like a zip line that he can go on like a leash.
Oh,
I
love it
on a zip line.
Slide him right. Oh. You know, we were watching a Cats 101.
Yes, my Animal Planet.
Yeah, my daughter loves that show. But you know what they do in the show, Al, is they have a whole like school lesson on particular breeds of cats, and within it they will usually feature a couple or a person who owns that cat, and they'll talk to them, and oftentimes. People are so crazy about their cats that they will, if they don't want them to get outside, they'll build like little tunnels that go from the inside of the house to the outside where a cat can go meander through the forest or wherever. And it's just this little caged-in tunnel. That's what they sound like. Very sad when they can't get outside. But I just find it incredible.
That may not even be a cat. That
is
just
that?
A sound.
That's cat meowing.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
There we go. Kitty's happy that he's outside. Mr. Whiskers made it outdoors. So maybe, Adam, you're going to have to build one of these chicken wire
tubings. Devices.
I'd rather not do a chicken wire one, but I would like to do a giant gerbil. What's it called? Have a trail.
A habit.
like the water park of America.
Yeah, why
over
not?
Here, that's just kind of goes out and back in and stuff.
And even though cats aren't known for them, you could get one of those giant spinny wheels. And,
sure.
Maybe just have your cat in a giant ball all the time, and it can just roll through the house.
You have to Anyway, so he's safe and sound.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah. And his name is way manlier.
And what is it?
It's Indy. Or Indiana, but,
I thought they named the dog Indiana.
They did. That's the joke.
I get it.
Which no one gets.
Named the cat Indiana as well.
Yeah.
So there we go. Thank you, Adam, for sharing that feline story. Yeah. Al and Jared, anything to say, or shall we move on to some reviews?
I got nothing,
of music?
Nothing else to add.
Al, are you happy to be here?
Yeah.
Well, good. We're happy to have you. Guys, we've got a great show. As we said, Scope Madness is coming at you. We've got 8 songs. We need to whittle them down to 4 and then whittle those down to 2 and then whittle those down to 1. That's a lot of whittling to do.
It is. I just want you to clean up your mouth when you're done.
Yeah, of course. We've got the shop vac and it'll be ready to go. Also, we will be...
Man, you're so quick. You're so quick with those. Really.
Shop vac.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't expecting that.
Thank you. Minute to Win It is
that might have been praise. Shane,
I don't
mark this moment.
I don't know. Minute to Win It, Guy Fieri, the Food Network superstar, he's got bleach blonde hair, and Al probably could rock that look. He's got a new show on. It's a game show, Minute to Win It.
He's just the TGI Fridays guy to me.
He is. Yeah. That's all he is to you. Yeah. And we've decided we're actually going to review something, and that is going to be the show. Also, Adam's got a stack of news stories for Under the Scope, so it is a packed program, everybody. Thank you for listening. Buckle up. Scope Madness and the rest of Episode 87 coming at you right after this.
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is he who must be obeyed. That was the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show.
Well, everybody, after years of neglect, the Scope event is back.
What?
It's back.
We did this before?
No, the Scope event is back. Not any event. Today, we proudly present Scope Madness. Inspired by college basketball and all those sports nerds out there, we've created something that might be more appealing to all of our Scope fans. And for those of you that need a refresher, here's what the Scope Madness competition is all about. We requested our fans' picks of best songs from the dawn of rock and roll to all the latest hits. We then ranked those songs and put them into brackets. Four brackets, Jared.
Yeah.
Great job on composing this music, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What network was this? Is this CBS?
It's CBS, NCAA, okay. CBS, basketball.
Okay. Garage Band.
Garage Band. Those brackets would be the oldies, the 80s, the 90s, and today. I sound like KS95 or the oddies, another way of calling the 2000s. No. And finally, we've pitted those songs against each other and eventually whittled them down to 8 competitors. Now, right before your ears, we're going to announce to the public the best song from each bracket. Bracket.
What's a bracket?
I don't know. From there, your Scope host will debate the merits of each match, vote for the two finalists, and after that, vote for the winner for the first ever Scope Madness champion. We've got our esteemed panel of Scope experts sitting right here, and they're chomping at the bit, or champing at the bit, to talk about how those brackets played out so far. Once again, Jared, Adam, and the creator of Scope Madness, Al, sitting right beside me. We've got a lot of talking. So without further delay, let's take a look at the oldies bracket, everyone.
Oldies. Some sort of stinger. Damn it.
So the oldies bracket started with 16 competitors. Al, I'm looking at the bracket right now. What surprised you in the oldies bracket? By the way, oldies is anything pre-1980.
I wouldn't say anything surprised me. I had one disappointment on there.
Please, go ahead.
And that was coming in the that dreaded 8-9 matchup.
Oh, it's always rough.
Two equally competitive songs.
Really hard to pick a winner in that
8-9
bracket.
Matchup. Can't always get what you want by the Rolling Stones.
Both teams play great defense.
Versus Fortunate Son by CCR.
Yes, and I guess that was my only glaring disappointment of the whole tournament. I thought the Rolling Stones song was a little bit better. Actually, I think it's a lot bit better.
What about you, Adam? I'm looking.
Well, did they just not bring their A game, or what would you say, Al? Why did they not?
Well, I think they took CCR a little too lightly, and they dug themselves into a 25-point hole, and they could not come back.
Well, that's just tough to come back from, isn't it?
CCR is a mid major, so I'm sure they weren't expecting such a challenge.
So you're looking at the brackets right now, Adam, because you didn't fill out your own. What stands out to you?
This is a good point. I probably should have filled out an entire bracket, like real stuff.
Wow, this show is really, we're hitting on all cylinders, aren't we here?
You know what? Like opening round, I was glad that, I'm mostly about making sure songs I don't like don't make it through.
Always the negative note.
I know. So like when Pink Floyd didn't make it, when Billy Joel knocked them off, that made me happy. Is that what actually happened?
I think it is what happened.
So that was my big one. I voted against the Beatles and John Lennon the whole way through.
And
then they match up against each other.
And then
that must have been a tough match.
Amazing,
for you.
Yes. That was very hard.
Who do you want to win
right.
less?
And I think I was just hoping in the end that somehow they would both just crumble.
Under their own weight of awesomeness.
Or something. So I don't know if we want to spoil anything about
that. We're not spoiling. We won't go that far.
So let's just quickly go around for the oldies bracket. Who is there anyone who had their favorite song knocked out already from the oldies bracket?
Anything knocked out right away?
Oh, sure. My favorite song didn't even make the tournament, so I guess I was just I kind of expected it, but maybe I was a little disappointed there. Yeah. But honestly, I'm kind of happy with how a lot of my favorites progressed. There wasn't anything I was too upset about within the oldies bracket.
I have to go back to the 8-9 matchup. I really thought the Rolling Stones would go further than what they did. But I think it begs the question that we could ask any time during our analysis. But let me throw it over to you, Jared.
Yeah.
Do you think the tournament would be different if other songs from some of these great artists made it into the mix?
I think in most cases we probably ended up with what could be considered an iconic song from that artist. So I don't know that it would have ended up that much different.
I think in some of the other brackets, we'll get to those later, like the Oddies, I think that could have been a completely different story if other songs would have been selected. Yeah. What do you say, Adam?
I agree. And if we had done like just band versus band instead of song versus song, which I realize you can't do because of the way we're going to do brackets, then I agree. We would have completely different setups for those as well.
One final question before we look at the
this two, is really serious.
The two remaining competitors right in the oldies bracket. Al, any artists or bands that didn't even make the list that you were surprised did not pop into here out of these 16 songs?
This bracket was the only bracket where my nominee didn't get in as well.
And who was your nominee?
Mine was All the Young Dudes by Mott the Hoople.
I don't know if it was you that brought it up.
And I was disappointed also that that David Bowie did not get in some fashion into this bracket as well.
What about
I think
Elvis
maybe
Presley,
the David Bowie song that was submitted on the list maybe wasn't the right choice. Because I would have picked other. I mean, you could have gone with Space Oddity. That would have been Space Odyssey, whatever that song is called. That would have been probably a more iconic pick for David Bowie.
What about the iconic Elvis Presley? Not on the list?
Yeah, well, I mean, we said oldies, but in the end, it ended up all being all 60s and 70s. Yeah. So
no one went
Presley
really
is more of a late 50s, early 60s. I guess some of his later stuff. Yeah, I'm just not much of an Elvis fan overall, so I didn't pick any of it.
No, and
nobody else did.
Either.
I think with the oldies, too, I think we, the cross-section of artists, though, I think we really hit 16 pretty big artists and important artists of the oldies, whereas we maybe got, I don't want to call some of these in the 90s and 2000s one-hit wonders, but I think we
story
had a really good
cross-section. To be determined for some of those artists.
That's true.
So, everyone, we have got four songs correct in the oldies that remain as of last tally. I'll go over the matchups with you.
No, by the time this show is out, we'll be down to the final two.
Oh, we'll be down to the final two.
So
okay.
We'll have the elite eight will have been announced via the web. We'll be down to the final two in this bracket.
All right, so let's start at the top part of the bracket with our first competitor in the oldies. This gentleman had a pretty tough run here, beating the Beach Boys, Billy Joel, and CCR. Yes, it's our number five ranked artist. It's Marvin Gaye.
I was happy with this one because this is a song I submitted, and I was surprised to see it make it all the way to the last two songs in this bracket.
Obviously, we picked this one to show that we're not racist. So let's.
I say next time we do this, the four brackets are four different races.
we're gonna pit
countries
or countries. Sure.
I like it.
We go across the pond.
You know that rain is gonna clean up in the Asian bracket. Come on.
So we've got the bottom part of the bracket here, and this one, no surprise whatsoever. This band cruised through, beating the 11th seeded "I Want You Back" by the Jackson 5. The aforementioned John Lennon, as well as Elton John's Rocket Man, the number two seed in the oldies group. Of course, it's Hey Jude by the Beatles.
Going into this matchup right now, the Beatles did not have 1-3-0 vote to win. And I think we know the reason probably behind that one.
Because a certain Jew was voting against them.
Fucking so, Lennon.
I think it's time.
But I think he was hoping that one of us would falter, but I think he knew that both you and I, Shane, were going
to
probably pick the Beatles.
Try.
So, everybody, I think it's time to announce the winner of the Scope Madness Oldies Bracket. Jared, play some music.
Hey, Jude. Don't make it bad. Take a sad
song. So as I said,
song and
our oldies winner had to beat down songs from the Jackson 5, John Lennon, Elton John, and Marvin Gaye. But it's still no surprise that the greatest powerhouse in popular music, the Beatles, and their 1968 tune, Hey Jude, came out on top. Penned by Sir Paul McCartney, Hey Jude was written for John Lennon's young son, Julian, to help him cope with his parents' divorce. Julian, in 1996, reflected on the lyrics. It's very strange to think that someone has written a song about you. It still touches me. Hey Jude was a critical and popular success. It spent 16 weeks on the British charts and 19 on the U.S. Music reviewers called it hypnotic and claimed the song's ending had an astonishingly transcendental effect. So let's listen to a little bit more of the amazing Hey Jude.
Nice timing there.
Anytime you feel the pain, Hey Jude, refrain. Don't carry the world up on your shoulder. For well you know that it's a fool who plays it cool by making his world a little cold.
That was Hey Jude, 1968, The Beatles. Adam did his very best to sabotage the Beatles' dominant streak, but could not be done in the end. Al, are you surprised?
No, I think you two are very... you two, next bracket. I think Shane and Jared were big components for the Beatles going through, and Adam, would you like to share who you voted for that last between Marvin Gaye and the Beatles?
Marvin Gaye? Didn't I? I don't even know. I might have voted for the Beatles.
I think you voted for the Beatles. Yeah. I checked the tabulation.
3-0.
I'm pretty sure I did. I would like to mention, by the way, that if it had been a better Beatles song, I would have probably voted for the Beatles for some of those all the way through. I find that to be one of the most boring Beatles songs ever, and I think it's a perfect encapsulation of why I don't like the Beatles, because most of their songs are just boring.
Give us an example of a better Beatles song that you would have voted for.
What were the ones that were on the list? Because I gave two of them 5 stars.
Eleanor Rigby.
Yep, that one.
That was Across the Universe on the list.
Across the Universe, I think, is a 3, but that's because I like the cover of it from the I Am Sam soundtrack so much more.
I like covers of that song more than the original. I just don't like the original recording of it. It's kind of weird, but
I don't know. Twist and Shout. I mean,
yeah, there was probably 5 songs on the list. I mean, you got to pick a favorite.
Yeah,
that one made it through.
So I mean, Eleanor Rigby is my favorite Beatles song. So had it been on there, I would have voted for them the whole way through.
So there you go. So, we would have had a winner. So we're not actually we're pitting the oldies bracket against the latest generation of rock and roll stars. Al,
what?
It's the newbies or the 2000s, and this was very interesting list here. We've got two competitors. We'll get to who they are in a second, but once again, I look right at Al. You talked about maybe this bracket not being as widespread, maybe full of one-hit wonders. Do you still feel that way after me teasing the bracket right before your eyes?
Yes and no. I think when you see bands... Like you said, there's a lot to be determined how these bands are still going to play out in their career. But more so, you see artists like Johnny Cash, who you don't associate with the 2000s, or...
I thought that was kind of an odd submission, but it was there.
Two fans voted for Hurt, selected them, so it...
I more so, like I said, there's a handful of bands on here that, yes, you say that is this generation of music. But for the most part, we don't know what a Vampire Weekend or... Gnarls Barkley, Postal Service,
Arctic Monkeys.
It's not necessarily 20 years from now we're gonna think those artists would be the icons.
So you're saying we shouldn't have done this until 30 years from now,
We've had a few decades.
The scope is
gonna have to go on for 35 years before we can do this.
Episode 791.
We need a few decades for it to kind of distill out which are truly the iconic songs of the decade.
Yeah.
As I'm looking at this list, I see a lot of songs that were popular in the latter half of the 2000s rather than the earlier.
That's just how everything works.
What do you think about that, Adam?
When you do, like, if you look at like IMDb's top 100 movies, it's super top heavy with movies from the last 10 years.
But when you I thought mostly on lists that I've seen for best music in the 2000s, it's all Radiohead. It's all like 2000 or 2001 were like the top, at least the top 5 to 10 spots, because I think, yes, they've withstood some test of time. Mm-hmm. But it's like the middle, seems like the middle or the early middle, usually in decades like 80 or you'd say 03 to like 06 kind of get forgotten because it's not hot anymore.
A lot of the early 2000s too was really, you know, pop music was the thing. A lot of the boy bands were hitting, you know, and that was maybe it took a few years for kind of the second, the next wave of indie and alternative bands to show up. So, you know, that's, and that's definitely what we gravitated to.
I think that's
more.
Also why though, 2000 through maybe 2002, you had a lot of, you know, what the critics really liked is because I think the stuff in the late 90s was so bad. So when all of the bands became popular, it was kind of the takeover from the bubblegum bands. Mm-hmm. But so that's probably why they're getting a little more respect than they do now.
At the same time, like, but popularity of you know, this type of music is still low. So like Spoon, their album from a couple years ago, it only sold like 1.3 million albums. And that's like their only platinum album ever.
But
and
that's like, that's like 10 million in the 90s though.
Nothing makes platinum anymore.
So it's like, but when platinum's you compare it to Radiohead, who have had, you know, big albums, you know, comparatively, especially you know, even Kid A, which I think is a subpar album. I realize a lot of other people think it's like the best thing ever.
I liked it a lot more when it came out than I do now.
Yeah. Like, you know, that sold, I think it was like 3 or 4 million, so you compare it, and that was at the beginning of the decade, so.
Well, we've got an interesting matchup. For people that have been following, we've got two bands that have, that the name starts with the letter K, making it to the final two, the finals of the...
That's why they're an interesting matchup.
Well, that's it.
I'm actually surprised that both of them made it to the final.
I am too.
A bit shocking.
I think the very interesting part about the two bands that are left is one band had to grow, you know, to really regain this mega popularity, and one band started out super popular and now they like to get ragged on by critics for the most part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of maybe going the wrong
direction. Maybe possibly on hiatus or broken up. We're not sure yet.
Two bands on different paths.
And these bands are, our number five seed would be Kings of Leon. What a shocker. Kings of Leon make it to the semifinals. No one have ever predicted that with their probably one of the newest songs on here, Use Somebody, a huge radio hit. And they're taking on the other K band, The Killers, with Mr. Brightside. So the question is, which one of these two goes on to win the bracket and take on Hey Jude in the semifinals? Let's find out. We're not sure how this song from the Tennessee band Kings of Leon made it to the finals, but we do know they had to cut through Coldplay, Postal Service, Kanye West, and The Killers to get there.
By the way, this is the most Snow Patrol sounding song, so my prediction on Facebook still holds true.
The song we're talking about is 2008's Use Somebody off of Leon's Only by the Night album. Use Somebody was, by all accounts, a multi-airwave format smash, reaching number 4 on the Hot 100 and number 1 on the Pop Songs chart. It also took home 3 Grammys in early 2010. Critics also lauded the song, calling it a highlight of their album and easily the best 1980s power ballad of 2008. Let's listen to a little bit more of Kings of Leon and Use Somebody.
Someone like you and all you know and how you'd be. Countless lovers undercover of the street. You know that I could use somebody.
So the bracket has been set for our first semifinal round. It's Hey Jude versus Kings of Leon. Al, your opinion?
I think this was the only, final from the whatever era that I did not agree with so far. I really liked the Killers song a lot better. And I don't know, I think that just seems, this song is just a rehashing of like U2's Beautiful Day, in essence.
Jared, your opinion?
I think it's a great song. I forget who I voted for. I think I might have voted for The Killers, actually.
I think you did vote for The Killers.
I'm going to say this, Adam. I think that if a number of other Killer songs would have been picked that I like better, I probably would have voted for
that. Oh, that's my favorite Killer song, but really? I was probably voting more for the total body of work of Kings of Leon at that point, but I was okay with that because that's not my favorite Kings of Leon song. It's still a good song.
I think that album in itself has 3 5-star songs on it,
yes.
And any one of them could have been in this position, in my opinion.
And then, and a lot of people
sorry, haters.
I think it's the only 5-star song on that
album.
A couple of 4-stars, though.
Their prior album is has even a few more, I think, 5-star songs.
I like the album before, but like I said, they're both very good songs. They're both 5-star songs, in my opinion. I just, I don't think you got it completely wrong.
Who was the top ranked in that bracket? I forget.
That would have been Eminem. That was an interesting.
I was surprised it didn't. I'm surprised Kanye beat Eminem. That's my, I think, my surprise from that bracket, because I was like, what? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Lose Yourself was like one, like, I don't know. To me, that's one of the best songs of the decade.
Was that because it was, that only on the soundtrack? Was that not on?
I believe it was just on the 8 Mile soundtrack.
That's why he voted for it. He doesn't vote for soundtracks.
No, I voted. No, I didn't vote for against Kanye, because that's a. Anyway. Yes.
Yeah, I think that there were a few surprises on here, but and maybe Kings of Leon taking it could be the biggest surprise of all. I think, as we talked about before, when you have these new songs that really haven't proven themselves, it's hard to say just if they deserve it. But
well, and this is what happens when a bracketed tournament is that, you know, that one song isn't facing off against the entire field.
Yep. Any song on any given night can win.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know, you just never know what's going to happen when you work your way all the way through the tournament.
So let me throw this out there, gentlemen. Do we want to vote now on this bracket, or do we want to go through the other bracket? I think we vote now.
You think we vote now?
Let's vote now. Let's give a competitor a chance to move on, and then we'll cover the next bracket. So, Jared, Adam, please find your ballots. Write down your song.
Are we debating the song first?
I don't know if we debate it.
Okay.
We're going to pass our ballots over to Al. He's going to read them dramatically in Jeff Probst fashion. Jared ripping. Got some ripping music, perhaps?
No.
No ripping music? No sounder? That's all right?
Did you just hear it? That was the ripping music.
Okay, so
play it backwards now.
Survivor-like, I will look at the ballots before
he's looking at it.
Before I
read
off.
Stack the votes.
The loser will be asked to leave the podcasting studio.
How do you ask a song to leave?
I don't know.
I could just close the file.
Are the results official?
The results are official.
Okay,
and
please go ahead.
The winner of this bracket
will be
discussed after the commercial break.
What? That's where we needed the American Idol song right there.
The winner of this bracket will be Hey Jude by the Beatles.
Wow.
What a shocker. Can we get a tally? Was it unanimous?
It was not unanimous.
It was not unanimous.
What a shocker. So Jared went with Kings of Leon this time.
I know. It's a very odd choice.
Considering
my love for the Beatles.
I would have picked with Adam as well.
Yes. Wow, we would have had a deadlock tie.
That's why we don't have panels of 4 voting on
next year. Next year, when we do this with 31 people, we'll still be odd, so it'll be okay.
I will just say I voted for Hey Jude mostly because of what we talked about before, which was here's a song that stood the test of time, and I actually think it is a wonderful Beatles song.
So you're saying if we redo this in 20 years, you may pick?
You never know. You never know.
We'll have to do a Scope Madness rewind.
Well, bracket one is done, folks. Let's find out who faces off against Hey Jude in the finals. That means we've got to look at the 1980s bracket.
Lasers are shooting.
Everyone knows my background, and they know that I probably love this bracket most of all because I think it had a really nice cross-section, with the exception overall, by the way, of, and this is pretty much across the board, lack of women in almost all the brackets.
Good.
I think the 80s.
Yeah.
I think in the 80s there was not one female performer.
Well, Prince was there.
Their Prince made it.
I put Bonnie Raitt in like 6 times, and you guys did not allow the...
We can have a WNBA.
We gave you something to talk about, Adam.
We can have a WNBA-type bracket for the women's.
Maybe the next time we do it, we'll have an all-female Scope
That'd
Madness.
Be interesting, because there's an awful lot of oldies.
Title IX does not allow you to do that.
Okay,
you
can't, sorry. Well, this practically was the flip side of Title IX, so... So let's look at the rankings right here. I see a lot of interesting matchups. I think probably the most overpowering matchup has to be the number one versus 16 seed.
Yeah.
So Welcome to the Jungle versus Driver 8 by R.E.M.
And honestly, I was surprised that that was the Guns N' Roses song that made it through versus
Sweet Child of Mine.
Because that's kind of... That's an iconic song.
Do you think a different R.E.M. song makes it further in the competition, Adam?
In that matchup?
Yes.
No, there's no chance. But if
they had a higher ranking,
oh sure,
a higher seating, I
Driver 8 is a weird song. But I mean, if you think about it, a lot of the popular R.E.M. songs are actually early mid '90s.
Yeah. Well, they hit with Out of Time.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much their
Like
their
Losing My Religion and stuff would have been '90s, I guess.
Being the tally counter, my biggest observation of the 80s bracket was that in the first round, Guns N' Roses was the only team that had a 3-0 vote from all of you. Everything else
Went
2-1. Yep.
Well, let's talk about one of the most interesting bracket seeds here.
Yep.
Was the number 5 seed, There's a Light That Will Never Go Out by the Smiths versus Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Interestingly enough, that Smith song was selected by two of our listeners.
Yeah,
giving it a multiplier and giving it a higher ranking.
Yeah. And you guys got it wrong because you guys picked Tears for Fears.
Wow, I think you're absolutely incorrect.
I'm not a big Smiths fan.
Million times incorrect.
I think the Dennis Miller Show ruined Everybody Wants to Rule the World for me.
No, I never watched it.
Okay,
and it's a classic pop song.
My other surprising note to the 80s is of course, I'm a calculator and tabulator, and
you are
This was definitely the bracket I was most disappointed by the results in throughout the tournament.
Give me one of the first round results that made you want to upchuck.
Well, it's
toss your cookies.
You know what? Wow. Some of the matchups
and your salad.
Some of the matchups made it hard because the songs I really wanted to win were against songs that when they did lose, like I love Left of the Dial by the Replacements, but I can't really argue that much. By them losing to
Purple Rain
by Prince. So,
even I was talking to Mr. John Mapes last night, and he was of the same opinion. He loved that song, but he couldn't see losing to Purple Rain. It's like, yeah, you got to kind of pick that one.
Out of the 15 matchups, or 14 before we even announced who won, but I only had like 7 where I agreed with you guys, whereas Adam and I picked the same on 13 out of 15.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think
so two people incorrectly picking, Jared. That's funny.
I think that means that Al and Adam are better at music than
I would say.
We'll have the Scope Madness after party where they have sex.
When it comes to 80s music, I think it just means that Shane and Jared are very more like-minded on the songs they like in this era.
I don't know. I mean, of these songs that were presented, yes.
Yeah, there's a definite divergence.
Overall, Shane and I have very different tastes in the 80s. There were 2 years of my life where I was nothing but hip-hop.
When I was picking these songs, I pick from a pop music standpoint. I pick the best pop music song in the matchups.
See, now,
that's what I did,
To me, this probably came because of all you two songs, I still haven't found what I'm looking for is like... Way toward the bottom for me.
Yeah, like you said, one of their best songs.
Yeah, way toward the bottom.
So, right. what was
absolutely
the song
incorrect.
On Friends? Is that
With or Without You?
Okay,
because
both of those songs to me are pretty terrible.
I think With or Without You was a worse song. I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
That's my all time favorite.
It's a classic song. It builds the edge on guitar. Let's get with it, people. So let's look at our.
By the way, I want to go by the Adam for now.
The Adam.
And see if you guys can deal with me.
So we've got two competitors in the 1980s, and I don't know if it was a surprise or not.
David Evans, that's his actual name.
But maybe this was just the voting block of Shane and Jared pushing them through.
What's that now?
Our two remaining competitors in the 1980s. Let's start with the number 3 seed. Yes, it was you two. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Probably made it just on our voting block all the way through, Jared. I'm assuming Adam did not vote for that
probably.
Song.
Which songs did it have to defeat on its way?
They had to buzz through bands like they actually beat Prince.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Bullshit.
Now you're embarrassed.
And an easy win with beating Head Like a Hole over Nine Inch Nails.
Very interestingly, Adam, did you announce who they're going against right now yet?
Not yet.
Okay, sorry.
So and then their competitors, the number 4 seed, no number 1 seed, that would be the Police. They buzz through Tears for Fears, Journey's Don't Stop Believin', and the number 1 seed, Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. So far, we have not seen a number 1 seed make it all the way.
We have not.
So Adam now has to pick a song he did not vote for one time.
That's tough.
All tournament.
What were you thinking?
Look, listen to the statistician. I wish Jared had a calculator sound effect right now. That would be great.
Run the numbers, that's for sure.
He's running the numbers left and right. So yeah, we've got.
What were you thinking, Adam? When you
I the worst bracket ever for the.
I know how to pick a loser
for the Adam.
The Adam had a pick there, and I'm not sure how he went.
Well, Jared.
By the way, these of all the '80s bands that people really like and are popular, these are probably the two that I dislike the most.
Which two are you picking from here? Let's get it out there so people know.
Oh, have you still not the Police and U2?
Yes, the Police and the U2 by the Adam.
The Bono.
Jared, let's let our Scope fans find out who makes it to
the final
four. Our second semifinal match pits.
Well, you just don't want to wait for me to pot it down, you?
I thought you would let me talk, and then you just pot it as I was talking. So our 80s winner had to beat up some of the biggest bands of the decade to win the bracket. Like we said, Journey, Tears for Fears, Guns N' Roses, and eventually U2 didn't have the gusto to beat back the Police. The 1983 tune was written by Gordon Sumner. Sumner, he is commonly called Sting, insisted at the time the song was about unrequited love and obsession with a lost lover. Sting said, "I think the song is very, very sinister and ugly, and people have misinterpreted it as being a gentle little love song." Of course, the song is Every Breath You Take off of the Police's Synchronicity 2 album. Every Breath You Take was the biggest song of the year, topping the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart for 8 weeks and Top Tracks chart for 9. Sting and his bandmates won 2 Grammys for what is considered to be one of the Police's signature songs. Without further delay, here's a little bit more of the 83 smash hit, Every Breath You Take.
It's still alive to me, Biggie.
Yeah. Can we have a Scrantonicity version?
So there we go. The 80s have been settled upon, and it is settled upon with the Police.
I disagree with this one. I think I'm the only one who voted against, because I voted for U2 on this one.
That one for me was a toss-up, because I think those two songs probably in the top five defining songs of the 80s.
I'm just much more
at least
of a
from,
U2
least from the music
fan.
I listened.
I wanted a double disqualification.
Wow, is my mic muted here?
Did you mute yourself?
No, I'm trying to say something. You guys are both talking over me. That's all right, though.
Say it again, please.
No, I was just going to say I'm much more of a U2 fan than I am a Police fan. So that definitely weighed into my decision. But so, it didn't matter. I was defeated in the end.
So that brings it back to the 1990s. The year when grunge broke out. Jared's favorite band of all time, Technotronic, fell off the face of the planet. I thought of Technotronic.
I still mourn their loss.
They're actually playing a Technotronic song in a commercial nowadays. It's very strange. Not even one of their well-known songs. Anyway, so...
What?
is there such a thing?
Not even one of their well-known songs. We've got some interesting matchups here in the 1990s, Al. 1990s known for a great variation of music, both good and bad. This was the time when teeny bopper music really kicked into high gear. By the way, the only decade
where there was a great variation of music, both good and bad. Every other decade's been either one or the other.
That is the most bizarre comment I've ever heard.
You just said that.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
I'm just razzing it up a little bit here. Give me a break. So we've got some interesting matchups here, Al. First of all, any artists not on this list that maybe should have been?
I don't know. I think we have pretty good cross section. We have interestingly, we have like New Order, and again, maybe the glaring artist that maybe is more memorable for being in a different decade, but showing up in this decade.
Or a different band.
Or in a different band, yeah. But for the most part, and Duran Duran, kind of the same thing.
Yeah. There were some people were upset about closing time. Passing the first round.
First of all, let me clarify something with Semisonic. You can call them a one-hit wonder, but they're not a one-hit wonder. They have at least 3 songs that charted and did pretty well. So I'm just going to throw that out there. They may be known for one song, but they actually have follow-up hits and hits off of another album a few years later.
Yeah, interestingly, from what we talked about in the 80s, the 90s bracket, we saw the most coincidences of you guys actually agreeing on music. So
it's a coincidence.
So maybe Adam's finally jumping on board with you guys a little bit.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe well, I guess tired of losing.
With Adam, the 90s probably was like the first decade where you were really, really
paying attention
getting into music?
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah. You know, because like the 80s, a lot of it's still, it's like nostalgia at this point because, you know,
yeah, I was eight
in 1988, so I wasn't, you know, watching MTV for anything other than than boobs.
And in the 90s, Shane and I were really, really, you know, powering through a lot of music, so.
Yeah, and ladies powering through a lot of
music. You know us. Oh, yeah. The thing that, that I find most interesting about the 90s, at least the songs, to me, I could go through and probably pull out five artists and replace the songs that made it with something else that really could have impacted the tournament in a different way. I'm looking at bands like Weezer. I mean, In the Garage is a great song, but come on. I think that...
Buddy Holly.
I mean, Buddy Holly is like the consummate song. Even if you've heard it a million times, I mean, that is really impactful for a number of different reasons.
Yeah, but that's the only one really I see on there that's glaringly not... Not in maybe you know, the top five, according to the mass.
I see, like, even like The Distance.
By Cake?
I don't know.
I think Ben Folds' Five Army is a song that... Yeah, it's a good song, but you could pick other Ben Folds songs, definitely.
It would have been Brick otherwise, and like that's a downer of a song. So.
Yeah, but still, great song.
But according to Sting, it's really a hurtful song.
Wouldn't have gotten my vote.
Wouldn't have got his vote. So we have... a really nice cross-section here. Any comments before we actually unveil the final two? Adam's going to look at the list.
Here real quick.
Go ahead, Adam.
No, I mean, did we have Hole on here? For some reason, I thought Hole was on here. It must have been on the original list.
Was Hole even on the original list? I don't think it was.
No.
That was one I just thought, I guess, could have been probably on here instead of... I don't know what it would have been on instead of.
Well, I'd be curious to just noticing where Nirvana and Radiohead are meeting up. You know, for some people, could there have been a worse Radiohead song and maybe Nirvana jumped them? Or do you think that...
Absolutely, I think
I'm just wondering, that would have been a very... could be a completely different matchup considering those two bands. You probably could have picked four or five different songs from that era and could Pearl have changed Jam the whole course of that tournament.
I think if my personal favorite Nirvana song made it, which... I mean, obviously, Smells Like Teen Spirit is their iconic song, but if one of their better songs made it, I think that they might go much further into the tournament.
Verse, chorus, verse. Would have made it all the way.
What's that?
Verse, chorus, verse.
There we have it.
That's a good one. That's not a lot of people know it, though.
Yeah.
Everybody, let's announce our semifinalists in the...
Well, they've already been announced. We can just, you know, get to it.
Let's refresh. The Foo Fighters, number four seed, with their song Everlong, takes on Radiohead. And their number seven seeded song, Karma Police. It's exciting. We've got two powerhouses from the decade. I don't really have a problem with this. Al, do you?
No, this is, like I said, this bracket to me, I feel like you guys got right.
We finally, in four brackets, Jared, we finally got it right.
And Everlong isn't even my favorite Foo Fighters song. I admit that I put this one on the list because I knew this Everlong would have a better chance of making the bracket.
Wow.
But it's a good song. I'm not going to say it's not a good song, but it's not my favorite Foo Fighters song of even that decade.
I would say it's the superior Foo Fighters song. Like, I think this song compared to some... We talked about the other bands getting by or not getting as far because we didn't like the selection. Voting, if there had been any other Foo Fighters song, they probably would have been knocked out a little bit earlier. My opinion.
And, you know, Foo Fighters had a lot of great songs in the 2000s, so you have to keep in mind that their catalog.
They might show up in a tournament in a different bracket next
year. Yeah, what has Radiohead done since?
They're just everywhere. So, Jared, let's announce the 1990s bracket winner.
You tell me when I start talking.
Give me the finger.
The music will fade down. Okay. This is your clue.
Oh, that's how it works? 4 years. The 1990s winner didn't have an easy road to victory, Al. This band needed wins against some major 90s players, Weezer, Semisonic, the Beastie Boys, and Radiohead. But some way, Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters pulled out a V with their 1997 classic, Everlong. The second single released off their second album, The Color and the Shape, Everlong hit number 3 in the Billboard Hot Modern Rock Tracks and 4 on the Hot Mainstream Rock Tracks. And that's the only track charting system that Al pays attention to, by the way.
No, I only use my ratings on
iTunes. Many people think this song's about Kurt Cobain. Grohl said it was written during the lowest point in his life as he was divorcing photographer Jennifer Youngblood. At the time, Dave had no home, no access to his bank account, and two of the original members of the Foo Fighters were on the verge of quitting the band. So, Jared, let's listen to a little bit more of the Foo Fighters' 1997 smash, Everlong. Come down and waste away with me. there we have it. Al, you need to say something right away.
Well, since we didn't do all the Final Four first, I was going to give a little prognostication on the Final Four.
Please, go ahead.
I kind of mentioned this just recently, but Everlong, in my opinion, is the strongest song out of the Final Four, whereas the other three are artists that, like, we've been talking about, probably 5 or 10 songs I like more from each artist.
Has-beens, most of those guys, too.
Many are dead. Yeah. I mean,
they're dead. They don't
or
count.
Had them, but, so I guess I'm going to throw it out there. I hope Everlong wins. I think that's the best song we have in the Final Four.
Wow. Now.
Very interesting. Jared? I think this has been a great Scope Madness so far, but there's one point of business that we need to do.
What's that?
We need to break this down to the final two, so that means we need votes. It's Everlong.
You guys have already voted, have you?
I wrote mine down, yes.
Everlong versus Radiohead to make it in...
No.
I'm sorry.
We've heard Everlong's already the
policeman.
90s champion there.
I'm sorry, yes. So we need to go against...
Radiohead versus... Foo Fighters versus the Police.
Foo Fighters versus the Police.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Interesting, both songs start with Ever.
Oh.
The titles, that is.
Al's collected the votes.
A lizard people conspiracy.
Al sitting down.
I find it interesting, that's Dave Grohl's low point in his life, not the time when him and What's-His-Face were pulled over in Australia for drunk driving in a golf cart. Because that'd be a little more...
Well, it's just a golf cart.
That's true.
So, Al, you have the votes.
I do have the
votes.
Are
they official?
They are official.
You've tabulated them?
I have tabulated them.
Cross-referenced them? Make sure that there's no cheating going on?
No cheating going on.
All right. Thank you very much. Please.
Drum roll, please.
Announce.
And going to our championship game will be Everlong.
Yay.
That's the only reason why we get those final songs.
What was the count?
And it was a sweep.
Oh, look at that.
I feel like
Al may have talked people into that.
Well, good.
That's all right.
Because I didn't want to fall asleep listening to the final two contenders.
He is the creator of this game. I mean, the guy needs to have some say in what's going on.
I would say I am surprised the Foo Fighters are in the finals, and I am not surprised the Beatles are in the finals. David versus Goliath.
So now what?
David versus... Yeah. Technically, David Grohl versus
Paul Goliath. McCartney, commonly Beatles. Known as Goliath.
That is his nickname.
Four against
Sir one. Paul Goliath. So this is interesting. Do we need to say any more about this final matchup? Al, I mean, final words before we vote. I mean, right now I really don't know who
I know,
I'm voting
this
for.
This is tough because we're looking at...
I know who I'm voting for.
Adam knows who he's voting for.
Just discuss why you think your team should...
my team.
Your song should win.
Yeah, let's get some final words.
Without telling us who it is, because that's what they do on all the shows.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm picking this band because...
I like it.
because I feel like they had to overcome a lot of adversity to come out of...
Like divorce and...
one of the tough brackets.
Yes, they came out of a tough brackets. They had some tough competitors and other bands to go up against. There were a few matchups where it seemed like they weren't going to pull through, and then they still did. They were not all sweeps like the very last round was for the one of the bands.
Jared, what are the strong points for both songs right now?
I'm a huge fan of both bands. I mean, I would put them both in my top five bands of all times. So this is a really tough choice. Hey Jude is not my favorite Beatles song, but it's definitely a song that I like a lot. And it's one that I never tire of listening to. Maybe it's not the best representation of the Beatles simply because it's very much a Paul McCartney song, and it was towards the end of their career where, you know, they were writing separately, Paul and John and George and everyone. So,
but
I don't
know.
It is
an epic song.
It is an epic song. On the flip side, Foo Fighters, Everlong, also an epic song.
Did you hear that drum beat the whole time? Mm-hmm. That's raucous.
We've got epic songs on both sides of the bracket, which is, they're different tempos, but, and you know, this, as I said, this is probably not my favorite Foo Fighters song, even from this decade, but it's still a very, very, very good
song.
How
have you felt hearing this song in concert, though?
Pretty awesome, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, that's
pretty.
True.
Awesome.
I've never.
I'm trying to kind of get him.
What about when you went to, when you saw them sing "Hey Jude"? The Beatles. How did that make you feel?
Well, it's pretty
with
awesome.
Paul McCartney
was
in a session.
I was in a time
singers.
Machine. Well, since I never actually did it live.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, I mean, Paul McCartney has done it since, but I never saw it live. Boy, that's. I'm still.
He's still thinking.
I think I'm leaning in one direction, but I still need a few moments of deliberation.
That's good.
Shane?
Well, Jared?
I really believe Jared is actually...
Jared, I think everyone has said a lot of good things here.
I think Jared's the swing vote right now.
I think he might be. I don't know. Let me break it down for you. On the positive side for the Foo Fighters, that is a song that I would listen to repeatedly in iTunes. I go back to that song all the time.
Shane has a playlist of just that song.
That's a song.
He doesn't know about the repeat one.
Hey Jude is a song that I would not listen to as much as Everlong. Now, is that a factor of me just living during the time when Everlong was out and popular? Or is there something more to it? I don't know. On the flip side with Hey Jude, we are talking about a classic band who has dozens of classic songs, and Hey Jude is just one of them. Is it their best song? That I don't know, Al, but it is a fantastic song and one of the most loved songs ever in the rock and roll pantheon of music.
So if this was Survivor, well, the final seven contestants before these guys that got out would vote, who do you think they would vote for?
Oh, well, that's a good question, Al. I'm not sure which way they would go.
I think the easy choice for winner is the Beatles.
Yes.
But is it the right choice?
No.
I mean, that's the question. We need time to think about.
Who would the Tea Party vote for?
Tea Party would probably vote for Toby Keith. And he is not in the mix.
All I can say is in the end...
He could be in another tournament.
In the end, Jared...
In the end, to Todd, Kings of Leon did not make the final two. So you can take that away from the contest. For all of the incorrect choices we've made over the last few days, I think that at least we made that one right.
There we go.
In his eyes.
So let's do this right now. Let's vote.
I'm still eligible for taking cash bribes.
Okay,
right?
As you're writing your vote down, Adam, talking to the mic. This is like Survivor.
All right, well, I'm just pointing out real quickly, maybe you can see through the light, I have now crossed my vote out twice and wrote something different down each time, and I'm doing it again right now. So this is my final vote.
So he's the one on Survivor you get to see because everyone kind of knows who he's voting for?
Yeah.
As I write my vote down...
This is for you, you backstabbing bitch.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot how that show worked.
This one,
now my vote is in.
And I wrote it.
Yeah. This one, I'm voting from my gut, not from my brain, and not from my heart, but my gut.
This could be interesting.
Jared, get ready to have the song ready to go.
After
Al gets the results. Goodness. We won't play the whole thing, but we'll just... Are the results
and
official?
Do you want me to? Do we want to have him announce it? Do we want him to tell me so I play the right song?
And we'll just play it as a...
How about you read the votes one at a time?
Well, I didn't see. What? That's the winner?
He sounds disgusted. No, I'm just clarifying. That's the winner. Yeah. Read the results live, and then at the third one, Jared will play the music. That's what we'll do.
Okay, our first vote.
Yes.
For Scope Madness,
it's really turned into Survivor, hasn't it?
You know what? We very well can get to the second vote and know who the winner is already.
Okay, we'll see.
The first, the second, and the third vote for Scope Madness champion is the Foo Fighters.
Wow.
Everlong.
I can't believe I voted that way.
I'd like to point out that I voted for Snow Patrol for a second and then
you
went back on
it. Out.
And the Beatles for 2 weeks.
That way, in case I forgot, food jam.
He's holding it up. If we only had Dave Grohl here to kind of summarize the song.
So let's let it play as we have our closing remarks.
Yeah.
I wish we had our ballots to know who all nominated. I think John Mapes voted, or nominated.
I nominated the song.
John Mapes, I think, nominated Foo Fighters.
Was that on there like three times?
I don't
Maybe
remember.
Possibly one other person. So congratulations to those people and their... music superiority.
Thank you, everyone.
I don't feel like it's a bad choice. Like, even though I voted for Kings of Leon, I would have felt like they were a bad choice. Honestly, if it had been
to represent four or five decades of music,
5 years from now, would you feel less bad about the Kings of Leon?
I don't think so. Like, honestly, if it had been Kings of Leon versus the Beatles, I would have gone with the Beatles.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
So, I think this is a band that has now been around for almost 20 years.
Isn't that crazy?
Especially if you consider part of Nirvana as this and everything. So, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, if you had to pick a 90s band that come out to represent that era, I think it's a good band to do that.
And it's a good representation of the show. You guys have all voted for the Foo Fighters multiple times during the tournament.
And I was thinking about this the other day, how much Dave Grohl, just himself, has been... a part of some of the my most beloved music. That, you know, it's like Nirvana, he was a part of. I liked it. Foo Fighters, I love. He was the drummer on Tenacious D's album, first album. He was on Queens of the Stone Age's first album. Them Crooked Vultures now. It's like, how much music can this guy be a part of that I love?
That little bastard is everywhere.
It's amazing.
And a very underrated video.
Yeah,
yeah, classic video in itself. Yeah.
And live, I don't like live music. I've seen them twice live. Best rock shows I've ever seen.
Oh, Dave Grohl just puts it all up on stage, so...
He leaves it all out on the court.
He really does. He does. I got to say, this is probably a great winner. I'm very happy that it went this way, and I just want to thank everyone for participating.
Dave Grohl is cutting down the nets as we speak, or maybe cutting his guitar strings.
Cutting
the strings. I just want to throw this out there to all our listeners, Jared, and everyone that competed and helped us compete in the Scope Bandits. Thank you for all of the effort that you put into sending us your music. It would not been able. We'd not be able to do it without you. I also want to thank Al for thinking of the idea and putting everything together and then introducing his snarky commentary into the...
This was a lot of fun. I was kind of not expecting it because only three votes and everything, but it's pretty fun.
And I guarantee that Scope Madness will be back, because now that we've got an easy idea, we're going to bring it back in many different ways. There's so many different
video
ways
games.
We can format it. We can do more music. We can do movies. We can do video games. We can do TV. We can do it.
Lady bands.
We can do it missionary style. We can do it doggy style. It doesn't matter.
Sex positions.
Yeah, we'll do our Scope Madness Kama Sutra edition.
Yes. Unfortunately, I will only know one sex position, so I don't know. What does that mean?
Is that left
What's
hand
a rusty
or right
trombone?
Hand?
I don't know what that is.
Missionary lights off.
I'm voting for Blumpkin.
Reverse cowboy? I mean, come on.
Or cowgirl.
Cowgirl? Yeah, there we go. Reverse cowgirl.
I haven't had a reverse cowboy.
I think I probably said one sex position too many, Al. So there we go. Scope Madness 2010 is over. But the music lives on, everyone. And it will live on the Scope forever and ever. Thanks for playing. We'll be back right after this.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it! Oh yeah, it's that time of the year. It's time for me to get the South by Southwest torrent. Listen to it, start some songs, and play back some stuff for you. So up first, here we go. A song called All Y'all by a band called Ringo Starr. I don't know a damn thing about them, but I'm playing them right here on the Scope. Keep it locked!
Been all your life, bopping around. Spend all your time making the rounds.
Under the Scope. So Under the Scope is back and in full force this week. We're taking care of every component of Under the Scope, but as everyone knows, Jared, yeah. We always, always start with the news. Adam is shuffling his papers.
Yes.
He's got two different colored inks on his newspaper today. I don't know what's going on. That's like red and black text. I don't know what's going on.
I think it was supposed to be gray. Anyway, hey, everyone.
So we've got a lot of news stories. I mean, things have really been happening the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You got to fill us in.
All right. So here's something that happened. I think the story was breaking this morning, but it happened yesterday. A man was arrested at the Large Hadron Collider claiming, any guesses on what he was claiming?
Claiming that the world is going to end and he had to stop the insanity.
Yes, because where is he from?
Alabama.
No, I should have said when is he from.
Oh.
Claiming he's from the future.
Oh, the future?
A would-be saboteur arrested today at the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland made the bizarre claim that he was from the future. Eloy Cole, a strangely dressed young man, said he had traveled back in time to prevent the LHC from destroying the world.
Wow.
Yes. So,
did he have any future technology? Wouldn't that be awesome if he really was from the future and he had like a super phone? There's more.
Yes. The LHC successfully collided particles at record force earlier this week, a milestone Mr. Cole was attempting to disrupt by stopping supplies of Mountain Dew to the experiment's vending machines.
Oh, wow.
He also claimed responsibility.
Well, Jared wouldn't work there if that was the case.
No. For the infamous baguette sabotage in November of last year, which I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah,
but
didn't they like drop bread on something?
They think a bird had dropped a chunk of a baguette onto one of the outside area exposed part of the
LHC.
There's
a bird right there.
And yes, they had to shut it down for a few weeks.
People actually said, post a baguette dropping, that was a planned event.
Not like, a planned event. They said it was the nature
saying we understand
time. Yes, because there are two scientists who are saying that because if this is brought up to full speed it will destroy the world or the universe, that the universe is actually going back in time to force it to stop by dropping baguettes on it.
What do you think, like the bird is drinking drinking Mountain Dew sitting on the top of it?
Okay, so one more thing to mention here. Mr. Cole was seized by Swiss police after CERN security guards spotted him rooting around in bins.
What was he looking for?
Mountain Dew, I guess. He explained that he was... Oh, no, I'm sorry. He explained that he was looking for fuel for his
open a cold one.
Time machine power unit, a device that resembled a kitchen blender.
Wow.
Do you think that he was like looking for Code Red? Maybe he'd change it up. You know, he'd have like the Arctic Splash Mountain Dew or whatever they have at Taco Bell.
I don't know, because they probably don't. They don't have corn syrup, whatever, there in their Mountain Dew. So maybe they don't have all the fancy flavors.
1.21 gigawatts.
Yes. Jared, your favorite Mountain Dew flavor?
The straight up.
Straight up Mountain Dew. This guy's a classic.
I'm not drinking much soda these days, so.
He's out of it.
Sorry. Well, trying to reduce my HFCS consumption.
In the past year, that's what I was looking
for. The standard.
The standard.
Or the Mountain Dew Live Wire, which is orange.
Let's have a bracket.
Have you ever done the reverse cowboy, by the way? Yes, I can throw myself under the bus.
Wow.
Okay, Adam. Nice story.
Yeah, I like that one.
Okay, read this one slow, too, so Jared has time to dig up some sound effects. I love it when that happens.
So the iPad is coming out
today.
Okay,
iPad sound effects. Go.
It's on mute.
Here it is. Tapping on the screen.
Oh, they're sliding.
There we go. Uh-oh. iPad is going down.
And I don't know why this is...
Steve Jobs, worst sound effect ever.
Johnny Five.
I don't know why I picked this one, but Netflix is going to be on the iPad or is on the iPad.
There we go. We're downloading our Netflix songs now.
People are calling it a killer app. So
I think it's that is a killer app.
And Netflix announced that they would also be bringing the app to iPhone and iPod Touch shortly as well.
And what would it sound like, Jared, if you brought it to the iPhone?
I don't know. Like this?
That is the droid. That's actually the droid sound effect, so you can't do that one. Not okay. So I got two Fox News stories.
Hey, are you going like to get an iPad, by the way, Adam?
I think I will someday. I don't think I will someday. But I'm going to go to the mall. Like we were talking about, I'm going to go to the mall after
this. But people didn't hear that conversation.
Right, you're right. Sorry.
So pretend like it didn't happen.
Okay. Well, actually, Shane, I'm thinking about going to the mall, the big mall, the Mall of America.
Everyone's jealous of, by the way, all of our listeners across the country.
Yeah, I bet.
They would love to go there.
Whenever I'm traveling and I talk about where I'm from, everyone's always like, how's that mall? And I'm like, really? This is... Yeah.
It's been over a decade.
Have we learned
nothing from the economic downturn?
And so I say, did you know that Minneapolis actually has the second most number of theater seats in the entire country after New York City? Not per capita, total. And they're like, yeah, but how about that mall? And I'm like, fuck.
And we've got the third most trained birds dropping baguettes on power lines as well. It's true.
All right, so two things. Some of these, sorry. I don't know if these are really funny, but Fox Nation, Fox News fan website, punked itself, as the headline says, with a global warming news story. So here's the first headline of the story. This, by the way, comes from a...
Is that the globe burning up?
It's on fire.
So here's the first lead, as it were. Famed global warming activist James Schneider and a journalist friend were both found frozen to death on Saturday, about 90 miles from the South Pole Station, by a pilot of a ski plane practicing emergency evacuation procedures. So the story goes on to say, like, how, you know, that these are people that think global warming is real, and oh, the irony that they froze to
death
at the South Pole.
Isn't that a hoot?
Well, you go to
Snopes. It's still cold there.
You go to Snopes, and this Snopes already had this as a thing, because the article is from basically a not as funny or obvious Onion type news site. And Fox is this Fox
gobbling it up as if it's real.
So the Onion beat them to the punch, and then they republished
it's not the Onion,
as a
but
joke.
Yes, it's a satire.
It's the Turnip.
Yeah.
.com.
So EcoEnquirer.com is the name of the site. It's a satirical site featuring spoof articles such as "Court orders fishermen to apologize to eagle" and "Penguins fed up with media attention."
No.
So kind of obvious that.
What?
What was that? That's my new favorite thing.
No.
And one other Fox News thing. So President Obama signed the healthcare bill a few days ago. If you were watching Fox News, you would not have actually seen the signing, because just moments before signing the
there he goes.
Final health care bill,
he's writing on a slate.
Fox News cut away from the president to show footage of a perfectly fine airplane landing. Fox justified the cutaway because they had heard the plane might have a flap issue.
Because that's more important than the president signing historical legislation.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Al?
You lie. Oh, no.
You then go back and you go through any news articles about this plane that was supposedly having problems, you know, like, yeah, you would assume there'd be other stories about it. Nothing.
So what are you getting at? I mean,
that they clearly cut away for no real reason, just to not show the president signing.
Are you saying there's an agenda there that we don't know about?
Well, yes.
Okay. Well, Adam said it. You send your hate mail, you teabaggers, right to Adam here at the Scope.
We like video games here.
We have been known to play them from time to time.
Do you guys ever want to go to PAX East or West?
Yeah, I kind of do.
We were just talking about that this week.
I think we should try to do PAX West, because that's the bigger one. That's the one in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they do PAX.
We can be the oldest guys there.
Yes.
No, you won't be the oldest
guy. Oh, good. You'll be there, Jared.
They started doing PAX East.
Right.
Which is in Boston. So, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but an attendee at the show attempted to steal code from a new XBLA game called Breach by Atomic Games. Atomic Games is the same people that were making a game called, like, 6 Days in Fallujah that never came out.
Darn it.
So Justin D. May, this story is really good. It's long, so I'll try to cut to it. But Justin D. May well have succeeded, if not for one significant blunder. He told the developers he was stealing it. Yeah. The suspect, so here's the quote. The suspect did admit to us several times, including as he was doing it, that he was stealing the code. He said to myself and several others after being caught that it was not a big deal. He just really liked the game and wanted to play it with his friends. He was stealing the code, though, not like the actual game, because they were on, you know,
he like plugged into their setup and was trying to take it from them, correct?
Yeah. He was caught downloading the code, which one employee claims is worth $6 million.
He's got
from
a dot matrix printer as well.
After only managing to download 14 megs out of the 2-gig game.
Yeah, not quite there.
He attempted to escape, hiding through the crowd. Joystick tracked down the gamer on Xbox Live, where he claims that
CSI
he was
Joystick
just trying to get
the blog, the video game blog that also can.
So when Joystick asked him, he said he was just trying to get online at the convention center using a spare network cable he found at the Atomic booth. So his story didn't quite add up. Atomic has a few different claims of things. Anyway, May was in fact on a panel show earlier where he asked the Xbox Live director of policy, like they're doing a Q&A, and enforcement, to unban his gamertag.
Oh my.
Which had been banned for playing Forza 3 earlier.
Nice.
You know who got to play Forza 3 early?
Who?
People that were pirating Forza 3 off of the internet and burning it because they had modded Xboxes.
Ooh.
He was reminded that all accounts that hacked Forza 3 were already banned and were not going to be rescinded. Or
in
whatever.
Your face.
Yeah.
That kid looks suspiciously like the guy that was doing the Grand Theft Auto larceny. Looks very confused, and he might have mental problems.
Oh, the one from the clip in the
airlock? Yeah, they look kind of similar.
All right, so a couple quick items after that, some of these video game related. Mega Man 10 is coming out for XBLA.
What's all this talk about this Mega Man 10 business?
It's basically just the old Mega Man type games, 100% mm-hmm. the same.
Which I was never a big fan of.
I wasn't either, and you know why? Because they're fucking hard.
Yeah,
but you know what?
We don't like hard.
This, you know what this one includes?
Well,
easy mode.
That's what she said.
Oh. Easy mode.
So like means, one bullet per screen?
I don't know what it means, but I played the demo on easy mode.
You just
go
on that and you hit A and you win the game.
Pretty much.
There you go. One button win.
I've never beaten a Mega Man game, I'm pretty sure. Even though I remember in second grade, I wrote a story called Mega Man versus Scissor Man or Cut Man.
Can we please get that story and we will post it on thescope.com.
If I still
had it. Reading of it.
It's called Fuck You, Mega Man.
Let's call your mom. She could... You can read it. You can read it to us.
That's sweet that you think my mom will keep any of my stuff. let's see. Ricky Martin came out of the closet this week.
And Al secretly cheers on the inside.
This is another Fox story. I should include her. Apple joined over
Fox
200
mashing.
Other companies in boycotting Fox News entirely or Glenn Beck show individually by not allowing their advertising to appear on it.
What's your favorite Glenn Beck moment, Jared?
It has yet to happen. I'm waiting for his cancellation.
All right.
the cancellation. Wow.
And finally, the screenwriter of Battlefield Earth.
I'm not a
Earth.
Fan. I think he's doing great harm to this country, honestly.
I agree. So the screenwriter, you're talking about the screenwriter of Battlefield Earth.
Of course. He did great, great damage.
Battlefield Earth won the Razzie for worst movie of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
He went and picked it up at the Razzie Awards.
Yeah, they rent a theater, right? Yeah. A broom closet. And
usually people don't show up, but Sandra Bullock showed up for hers last year, 2 years ago.
Did he go have sex with Jesse James then?
I was going to say, well, Jesse James told her to go. Yeah. And said, please, honey, go without me. So I got other things I got to work on.
The screenwriter picked it up, and then he wrote an op-ed in... He wrote an op-ed in the New York Post, I think, kind of explaining the situation and apologizing and kind of making fun of the movie at the same time. It was actually a pretty funny read.
I read that in this article. He was talking about how really the whole justification for it was he was trying to get laid by getting into Scientology.
But he kept on referring to his dick as something weird.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
Like,
but
had a name.
But he went
Steven.
To,
he called it
Willy Wonkins or something like that.
He went to like a Scientology center and it sort of got out that he was a screenwriter. And then all of a sudden, John Travolta wanted to talk to him. And so he talked to him, hey, you should take a crack at this this book by L. Ron Hubbard. And he's like, well, I'd really like to take a crack at The Receptionist. But they kept at him, and he actually made Battlefield
Like, the way he describes
it was hilarious.
It's like a comical situation of like him being super horny and then being like, whatever, you should just write
Come
this.
Come on.
Like, all right, I guess.
Got these guys are giant, look like giant Chewbaccas. I don't know what the hell is going on.
Have you guys ever seen Battlefield Earth?
Yeah, it's bad.
Anyone here ever see it in the theater?
Yeah.
Jared saw the theater.
Wow.
Weren't there?
No, I didn't go.
He saw Walt.
There was a group of us who
It was you and Earl for sure.
I was at Waterworld. I couldn't see that one.
I saw that one.
Al was drinking his own urine.
I saw that one theatrically,
That movie has one of the best animated GIFs I always see on the internet, and that is the scene where John Travolta shoots a cow, and it's one of its legs just gets like shot off, but you kind of see it like... just moving to the right, and it's clearly being pulled on a string. This terrible prop is just being pulled, and you can kind of see it bounce away.
Jared, do you remember the cow shooting incident in that movie?
I remember very little. I remember Barry Pepper running around being savage and stuff. That's about
when it. Let me ask you this. When you saw the movie and you were done, did you regret seeing it? You're like, well, this is a waste of my time, or was it a moment where you could say, I can tell my kids about this if you ever choose to have
there
it?
There was instant shame and regret.
Okay. Well, I like that you own up to it.
But it was better than it was worse than Face Off, at least, I think.
I saw that movie in the theater, too.
I saw that in the theater.
I liked Face Off.
I got to imagine Battlefield Earth being worse than that movie.
Then what?
Face Off.
I liked Face Off. Yeah, Battlefield Earth is one of the worst films ever made.
I liked Razzie Award, but I was 17, so I probably didn't have good taste in
Face Off could have used one less boat chase at the end.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
Exactly.
Too many boat chases. Is that it, Adam?
That's
you're folding up your news notes. Jared.
Yeah.
Adam's done with news.
He is.
So that means... That's time to review something.
I don't know what we do here. It's been a while.
Well, just push a button and see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that happened.
So we watched Minute to Win It.
Yes.
Which is a new... How did we pick this, by the way? It was just easy.
Shane said, hey, let's do this show.
Okay. It was a new show that we thought we could easily digest for this program.
So Minute to Win It is a new game show on NBC. And it's hosted by Guy Fieri. Mm-hmm. Who, as we mentioned earlier, is on
Food Network. I've seen that set before, too.
Yeah, and it is definitely the millionaire set. I mean, 100%. The lights do the same thing. It's just from the cameras are at a different angle. They're 90 degrees off. It's hilarious. Like, everything's circular. Yeah. You watch it once, you'll see it right away.
I thought I saw the ladies walking down the steps.
Yes.
During the episode.
You did? I have no idea what you're talking about.
For what? When Lou...
On to the review!
What ladies? Are you talking about the briefcase?
I'm on the briefcase.
You're on the wrong game show.
Deal or no deal is that one.
And then they said, goodbye.
You are the weakest link.
You're the weakest link. Yeah. Goodbye.
Okay, so to win cash prizes.
Wait. Is Jeff Foxworthy on there too? Yeah.
Y'all.
You know what? I'm not going to. Here.
It's all the same show.
There's a clip that'll explain how the game works.
Playing games with household items. If they complete the games, they win $1 million.
Oh.
But they only have
how long?
A minute to win it.
Oh,
now it makes sense.
$1 million.
So, like every game show like this, it starts off. You know, you win $1,000 for the lowest end one, $5,000, mm-hmm. and then it starts to gain and get a little bit more difficult. But some of them are some of them are super easy, and some of them are super difficult.
Yeah, some you think would be like in the earlier rounds. There were some that I thought, man, this is really hard for $5,000.
Like the pencil one?
Yeah.
So, like, there's one where you have to bounce a pencil on its eraser into a cup, and that seems really...
And there also, there was one I watched where you had to throw a card into a watermelon that was cut in half.
Yeah.
You just go... And the guy probably threw about 500 cards, and he got one to stick.
And how many did you have to get to stick?
Just one. Oh, but okay. He had to go... He lost his round, so he had to go through it a couple of times to get it. But anyway, we'll let you do your business.
The competitors are shown the 60 plus games prior to the tape day and encouraged to practice these one of a kind challenges at home.
60 games?
60 plus. Yeah, Jared.
I think it was at 65.
Yeah. Wow. So that's the number of possible.
Al knows the games. He's been playing them.
So in the episode that I watched, I think this is the one that we both watched with the hairdresser guy started it, or no, because you saw a different
no,
one.
No, I saw the newest one.
Okay.
So.
Well, the one that I watched and the clip is from here introduces one of the earlier challenges in the game, and I'll let the clip describe what the contestant must do.
Let's take a look at your level 2 blueprint.
Face the cookie. The human face is composed of many muscles, with two large groups that help make a smile or frown. In this challenge, the contestant must move a total of 2 cookies from their forehead to their mouth, using only their facial muscles. If a cookie drops, the contestant may reset another cookie on the forehead and try again.
Failure
to complete this task in 60 seconds may result in elimination.
Why do we not bring cookies?
Yeah, I saw this one.
So the just to spoil it for everyone, she does it, but so she has got an Oreo on Hydrox on her forehead, and I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I would just kind of like, you know, shoot it forward a little bit.
Do they put her head in a brace, or how does it work?
Well, they say you can only use your face muscles, but she starts like shaking her head, you know, like to get it down. And it's, you're right. And Guy Fieri's like, she's doing the shake. No one's ever done it like this before. This is the second episode of the show.
What happens if you have a big schnoz like you or me? Can you do it, or does the cookie always fall off to the
side? You gotta go around.
You gotta go around your big schnoz.
The way she did it, it went down to her right eye, and then she kind of like got it around, and then she used her tongue to get it into her mouth,
which was oddly reptilian.
Yeah,
it was forked and it wrapped around the back of her neck.
For what? If anyone, if you're able to, I don't know if these are on Hulu.
They are on Hulu.
Okay, I would say go watch the pilot because there's a relatively attractive mid-20s blonde girl that's pretty top heavy.
Was she on the second half of the show then? I watched the first half of the premiere, the first one.
How do you spell Hulu?
She was not on that.
Yes.
So the large guy was on first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Black guy? Is that what you're talking? Yeah. 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 And then it was,
Al doesn't see color.
I don't see color.
why is a large guy always gotta be black?
And she makes it pretty far too. So it's kind of like, it's kind of cool to like see someone do well. And I mean, most of these
on the third show it happened too.
Most of these challenges involve jumping around of some sort. And it's, and seriously, it's just like tits bouncing nonstop. So I mean, that's wow. And she's pretty cute. So it's cool.
She would have been good on the challenge that I saw where they had bottles like a Powerade bottle, and they had them stacked like two lines, parallel lines, and they had like five bottles or six bottles, and then they put a pantyhose over a guy's head, and at the bottom of the pantyhose there was a ball in it, and so they had to swing their head back and forth.
She did do that one.
Oh, they did that one? So you see the boobs going all over the place.
And the one where they've got a Kleenex box attached to their back, and there's like a ping pong ball in it, and they have to like jump around to get the ping pong ball out of it.
She
just happened to have that.
Right, exactly.
And for the ladies,
guys, like, I can't believe how this one came up.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the ladies, the large black guy was attractive too. If you want to watch that,
okay, right. Fair enough.
Just so the disclaimer.
Sure.
Do we have ladies listen to this show?
No.
Yeah,
no. We do.
Sure. Whatever. One or two.
Okay. Ladies, you heard Al.
Equal opportunity.
That's right.
So yeah, I mean, it's on. I don't even know what. Oh, hey, by the way, in case you're curious, this does not come directly from a UK show, which I had assumed.
I was going to say it seems like it was a ripoff of something.
There
else.
Is a show in the UK called The Cube, which is similar, but still pretty different.
So this is actually sort of an original American idea, because it feels like it isn't. Like they could have stolen the entire graphics package.
But everything else about the show and the money tiers and everything else.
Yeah, from
it's derivative of something.
You've seen that before.
Yeah. And in all likelihood, there probably is a Japanese game show that's more like this, because this is the kind of short little thing is more Japanese anyway.
So they lose their hands.
That's right.
Yes.
So let's go. Let's throw over the review if you're done.
Yeah. Sorry. Sundays NBC 7 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock. Normal people.
Gotcha. So Al doesn't get a vote, but he definitely watched the show. Al, tell us what you think of this show.
I watched the first two challenges, and I was just kind of, I just was like, I probably just won't watch this. If it's on and I'm flipping through commercials on another show, because I guess I watch TV the old way.
Yeah.
Where I have commercials.
He gets up and turns the channel.
Yeah.
Turns the clicker.
Yeah.
Move the rabbit ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn thing.
It was cute, but it just... The big black guy was cute.
To me, it seems like a show that you'd rather live than watch. It seems like to me you'd be the type of guy that would come up with these games and then make people play them.
Yeah, I just, like I said, these people don't have any real talents, though.
No.
Like, if I'm going to watch a reality show, I'd rather at least them have some
Celebrity
talent.
Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes, you know?
well, at least they're doing something.
Cindy
Lauper doing something.
Cooking hamburgers on a grill.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was too easy for me.
You're saying it's a light diversion at best.
Yeah. And but I can see why America could love this show.
What about you, Adam?
I would never seek out this show. I could see watching it if, like Al said, I was flipping through the commercials and saw it. I'd watch it until a commercial break, which is probably the point of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would turn it off. But, you know, of all the shows we've had to review, probably actually up there.
It goes down easy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that, Jared?
It does. I mean, I obviously had to watch the whole thing to review it fairly and honestly. But Angie was there next to me, and usually if she's not interested, she'll open the laptop or go do something else. Mm-hmm. She watched the whole thing with me. You know, it's fun. It's light. It's kind of interesting, the games they come up with. It's definitely not something you would probably watch week to week unless you're really into those type of shows. But yeah, if you come across it and you go, hey, this is kind of fun.
The one relatable hook on this is, you know, that kind of goes against what Al said, but these are things that anybody can at least attempt. Yeah. So you don't ever feel like, hey, I'm watching some sort of athletic challenge that I can never
or
compete
in. Or test of knowledge.
Yeah. Anybody can do this.
I'd rather play the home version of this game that you can buy at Target in probably six months.
And they tell you, they say watch, look
There's
at the challenges
online,
on their website, and then they say like to upload your own videos, like it's a social networking thing too. So they I don't know.
So did any of you guys see what one of the million-dollar challenges is? Because the episode I saw...
I've never seen anyone get that far.
Well, they actually preview it for you, saying this is a million-dollar challenge.
Oh, right.
So they've got one where they've got like a big water bottle, you know, like a 5-gallon water bottle, and they've got, you know, the top is open, so it's probably a couple inches in diameter maybe. And you have to get a quarter, bounce it off of something, and bounce it into the water bottle for $1 million. I mean, there's no way I'd even attempt to do that.
And
that's pure luck.
I was going to say, the thing about this show is they are going to find the idiots who will do that.
Yeah.
That they're not going to get someone like me who's going to be saying, no, I'll take this. I mean, I'll be done after $10,000.
I'll take the $500,000.
I mean, you could see some of the challenges where, hey, you've got a chance with some sort of level of skill to do this. Like there was one where you had two feathers and you had to keep them in the air for a minute. You had to keep blowing them. I mean, that's something you have control over it at some point, some degree. But, you know, bouncing something into something else, I think you're really lucky
to get that. I think the show is a better idea than the actual show is. Just... It's a pretty, I don't want to say brilliant, but pretty great idea of them trying to get something that common Americans can do, maybe get a little internet phenomenon or like, you know, their version of YouTube videos of people making some of these amazing contests and winning them online. But like I said, for me, it's just, I'm not going to put time into it.
I think they could power through the games a little quicker.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like there's a lot of fluff, but.
I mean, they do go fast, but there still is that.
Wait for the syndicated show, then.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to comment on is I actually, you know, say what you want about the set. I actually think the production values and the set and the graphics are kind of cool and different, and I kind of like that part myself, you know?
Like, I like the graphics and the do in the blueprint section.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Guy Fieri, he's probably a really good host for it, because he is, like, he's, like, cheering them on, like, as they're doing it, and he'll, like, run to the camera and be like, oh, he's only, he's halfway
there!
They're
telling him to do dumb shit that.
Yeah.
They need a British person on it.
They really do.
Well, the blueprint announcer is British. That's enough British for America.
Right. Well, let's see if we give it a British score,
She's
Jared.
Smarter.
Yes. Well, what is a British score?
I don't know. We rate it in pounds, I guess. Okay.
The Scope score is 2 stars.
Two stones.
So pretty, you know, non-offensive, but it's kind of like America's Funniest Home Videos to me. It's a show that I might watch, but I'm not going to sit down and plan my life around it.
Right. So you want to watch people get kicked in the balls.
That I do enjoy. So, Jared. Before we move on to the coming soon, we had a voicemail that I felt was a little bit more apropos for this segment versus the back half of the show. So if you could play that for me, that would be great.
Hey, Scopecast. I am currently waiting for an airplane in Albuquerque Airport, and I was like, what should I do? And I was like, call Scope. And I want to ask what you guys are thinking of the Lost, new season of Lost. That would be cool.
Okay, dialing from Albuquerque. First of all, Jared, you know, you doubted me when I brought up the phrase Scopecast, and that was the first thing that he said. He called it the Scopecast.
Okay.
So it's catching on, my friend.
Is it?
So let me recap.
After 4 years, it's finally catching on.
Let me recap.
Scopecast. Catch it.
His question was, what do we think about the new season of Lost? And I'm looking at Jared because he is one of the biggest fans of Lost, just like me. We are in the final season. We've got 6 or 7 episodes left. What say you about the season so far?
Other than the most recent episode, which I didn't like that much, I think this is possibly the best season of the show ever. Maybe the first season is still better because it was so fresh and new and everything was being introduced. But, I mean, they're just moving at a great pace. They're answering a lot of questions. They're setting up the end game. I'm very happy. I'm very happy. I thought the episode previous to this last one was could be one of the best episodes of the entire series.
Is that the, without spoiling too much, that was the Richard album?
Yes.
Richard episode.
Albert, yep.
Yes, that was a great episode. And the last one was...
For me, it was just okay.
It was workmanlike. It progressed the plot. I think it's one of those setup episodes that, you know, wasn't... out of this world, but it was still pretty good overall.
It's tough to
follow. It didn't insult me.
Yeah. But for the entire season, I think it's been fantastic fun, and I'm happy.
What about you, Adam?
I've liked it. I'm a couple episodes behind where you guys are. I guess the last one I saw was...
The plane crash, right? You saw
right. Greg Grunberg is going to be a big character in the show.
They shot a polar bear. And that was it.
I'm not sure.
I don't know what. I saw the Kate one. I saw the.
You need to watch that Richard one immediately.
Okay.
I mean, it is ridiculously good.
Okay,
and will explain a lot of stuff.
So yeah, I mean, I've liked it. A lot of it has been almost more like Jared said, they're answering a lot of questions as they've been moving through it. But at the same time, it still does have that Lost. Hey, explain this to me. I'll explain it to you in a minute. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, and then we didn't explain it to you.
That's the worst part of Lost. If you have one complaint. They could get so much further in life if they just were very pointed and direct in their questioning and their
especially
answer.
Jack, because Jack will do this. Jack will do this. I'm sitting here until you tell me the answer.
Yeah.
All right,
we're sitting.
let's cut to a flashback. We're still sitting. All right, let's move. All right, cool. I know you didn't have it in you, Jack.
I think this season is different for two reasons. Number one, what Jared and Adam mentioned earlier, the whole idea of them actually answering questions versus just raising more questions and giving you little snippets. It's hard to get used to that for me. So, you know, you're not really getting a mystery. You're getting the answers to the mystery. So it's a whole different mindset. But at the same time, usually the flashbacks or the flash forwards in previous seasons, those have been the points where you're really getting the answers. You're getting the fill-in. Now with these sideways flashes, they don't really mean much of anything. They will mean something, I'm sure. Amen. But you know, usually they're just good stories that might have – they're like a parable or
– Is there a consensus on what the parallel flashes are? Hmm. Is it what would have happened had not visited them?
Some people say it's what would have happened. Some people are saying it is what actually happens after everything is said and done. That's the – you know, when everything on the island shakes out at the end of the season, this is what their lives will be.
Because they would not have gone to the island.
Yeah.
Okay.
For whatever reason. But I don't know. I think that it's, me personally, I think it's probably like a parallel timeline that in some way is going to merge with what is actually happening and it will all sort of shake out. I think that they're, because there are things that are happening in these stories that seem really coincidental, like all these same people are there, or sometimes they stop and they think about what's happening, like, this seems familiar,
right,
or I should know who that person is. So I feel like it's not what is going to be, it's another version of what is.
I think if it doesn't tie into the finale of the show somehow, it's a big waste of our time, and I think people will be very disappointed.
I've actually heard that we will find out the meaning of these before the finale, like soon.
I'm just saying, if it doesn't work into the season, other than it just being an alternate timeline that we see just what if, then it's a big waste
of
our time.
I think it has to, you're absolutely, there has to be a divergent path of some way. Or convergence, rather, not divergent, where they come together, and it's like, oh, this is why we're seeing what these people are going through.
Yes, otherwise it's going to be like, you wasted half of the final season on something that isn't important.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they're smart enough to figure that out. So,
we hope.
So anyway, to answer your question, Albuquerque, your scope casters think that the Lost has been very, very solid this season.
Do you guys think you're going to go back and rewatch afterwards?
Well, I always say that I would like to do that, but I probably won't.
I don't own them, okay. So.
Well, but when I watch it the first time, I'll call you and you can.
Yeah, you can use it. You can give me your copies of The Wire. I'll give you my copies of Lost, and we'll have a game.
The Wire, by the way, I'm midway through season 5.
Yeah.
And
better or worse than Lost?
Oh, way better. Okay. I mean, above and beyond. It's, but you can't compare the two.
Okay.
It is just the best show.
There we have it.
Yeah,
I gotta get back on that. I'm through season 1 and 2, so I need to get back on that.
All right. Well, let's get back to the third part of Under the Scope. We call it Coming Soon.
I missed something in news, and this is kind of related to Coming Soon, if a DVD of the show had been coming out. So 24 was canceled, or I guess not renewed.
Not renewed.
Because they're going to
do a movie.
They'll finish the season.
And do a movie after that, So not a shock there. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, so Coming Soon, April 6th, music. Melissa Alfdemar.
Now, she's from Hole, right?
She's from Hole. She's from
Smashing Pumpkins,
from banging our Song of the Decade Award winner, Song of Forever Award winner, Dave Grohl.
Wow.
Good for him.
Yeah. What a nice tie-in. I like how you bring it together.
Yeah.
I know the scope is relevant.
Scope band is champion. Foo Fighters.
Yes. Jonesy from, I guess that's from Sugar Ross.
Mm-hmm.
David Breen and Fatboy Slim. David... The guy from Talking Heads.
Mm-hmm. David Byrne.
All right. I don't like the Y in there. So Dr. Dog. The often unappreciated. Adam still doesn't really get why they're that good. Dr. Dog. Jacob Dylan and Slash has an album.
We were Jacob Dylan and Slash together.
Yeah, together.
We were playing D&D last night.
Boring
iTunes
music.
Was on shuffle and the Waffle Hours came up a couple times. I'm like, wow, whatever happened to that band?
Did you say you were playing D&D?
Last night, yeah.
Man, I want to get involved in a D&D game.
Really?
Yeah.
Jared is looking for players.
Am I? I'm not running the game.
I've always wanted to start up one of those.
And so does Al. Al wants to.
I've never been invited.
Al's too busy bouncing ping pong balls into a cup attached to his head.
Buckethead. That's the name of that game.
Wow.
April 13th, Jason Castro. Who's that?
He is American Idol.
Yeah, no. Dreads.
Top six, guitar. Star 7. I don't know.
Coheed and Cambria.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie Merchant.
Yep.
Terrible. And
did Dave Grohl have sex with her? Or no?
I don't think so. No. Tiger Lily. I don't know other
words. Tiger Lily.
And MGMT has a they're
back.
Coming back. Yep.
So I don't quite get that band.
I heard a new song by them. It's
heard it yet. Yeah. One of my very favorite mashups of all time is a mashup of an LCD Sound System song called My Friends and the MGMT song called Friends. And it's a great mashup.
For those of you
like
playing
12 minutes long.
For those of you playing Adam Sitnik Bingo, you can cross off a mashoff off of your
mash-off.
Bingo card.
Did I say mashup?
Did you say remake too? Or a remix?
Probably. Yeah. I did a mashup remix, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Movies, April 9th, Date Night. What's that?
That's Steve Carell, Tina Fey. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that. Okay. I've seen the commercials. April 6th, Death at a Funeral. And Kick-Ass.
Just a remake. Kick-Ass, finally. Yeah, oh, my
finally.
God.
Because I keep thinking Kick-Ass has been out for like...
There's been like 8 trailers and 72 clips released. And
is that McLovin playing?
A couple dozen of
that is McLovin.
Movie.
Yep. It got huge buzz at South by Southwest and a bunch of other things. So
do you want to know the truth? I don't think this movie's going to do that well. I mean, I think that it will do well.
It'll do well amongst
the fans. I think it's probably great, everything that I've seen of it, but... I just think this will be kind of a cult classic.
I mean, I don't know that it's expected to do great, though, is it?
No, there's high expectations, but what those expectations are, I don't know. I mean, what are they measuring it against? I have no idea.
Dicks,
there we go.
DVD, April 6th, Bad Lieutenant.
That's the Nick Cage sort of remake sequel to the original Bad Lieutenant.
Is that
I don't know.
Better than Face Off?
Isn't that... Oh, DVD, right, yeah.
Yeah, DVD. Cocoon, 25th anniversary.
Yeah, we'll be getting that.
Oh, boy.
The Relic, I don't know. And Simon and Simon. Season 4.
Yes.
Awesome.
I love the random ones that you include on
When's
here.
The movie for that one?
I love Gerald McCraney.
Yep. What was the blonde guy's name? That's the
they're
key.
Actually going to merge Simon and Kate Nally into a single movie.
And Jake and the Fat Man.
And Jake, yes. And Fat Man Little Boy.
That's and Cagney and Lacey.
That's a lot of cops.
Scarecrow and Mrs. King, the movie.
every TV show in the 80s had
Heart and Heart.
I'm sorry, it's Heart to Heart. That's why Jared hates 80s TV, because almost all the titles had ampersands in it.
Alf and Alf.
Exactly.
April 13th, Gone with the Wind, Dora the Explorer, Explore the Earth, a movie, I assume.
I don't know.
And Nightmare on Elm Street Collection, I guess this is for the remake, which I had no idea was even happening. The Nightmare on Elm Street remake that comes out sometime in April.
Yep, Jackie Earle Haley as Freddy Krueger.
Video games.
Currently on Human Target.
Oh, this is exciting. The week of April 4th. Why is this the only game coming out?
That's it, dude.
Satisfaction for the Wii.
I don't know what it is.
I can't get no.
What?
I didn't need to say it was for the Wii, by the way. It was pretty obvious what that was for.
The Wii Network?
That is not the only game coming
out. That's it. It's just nothing that week.
Did something come out last week that... I don't get
it. Are you predicting a low in sales for video games?
Yes, there will be a slight lull.
April 11th, Splinter Cell Conviction for the 360, PS3, and you don't include it here, but also the PC.
Oh, who cares about the PC?
Ubisoft, by the way, now has a new DRM system in place for all their games, which includes Assassin's Creed and Splinter Cell games, where if you're playing it on the PC, you must have a network connection to their DRM servers 100% of the time, or else the game will quit on you.
Really?
Yes, and not save your progress.
What?
Or they patched it so that it does save your progress now, but it will not let you. It stops the game.
That's bullshit.
Wow. Yeah. Is that what it's coming to?
So people,
they not understand that people will find a way around whatever you put in their plant?
Yeah. At this point, they should just stop. Like you would get it. Piracy
just stop
is
making
really
games.
Bad. Yeah, just stop making them for the PC. Like just don't do it anymore. It makes no sense to even put it out.
All these schemes do is it just pisses off the people who are honest.
Yep. I agree.
Because
the pirates find a way around it.
And what people did is they started DDoSing the DRM servers so people that had bought it couldn't play because the servers went down.
Nice.
Yeah. Splinter Cell, Grand Theft Auto 4, The Ballad of Gay Tony is finally coming out for the PS3. They've been really slow with those.
Mm-hmm. And that is coming soon, is it
coming
not?
Soon. That's it.
Hold on, Jared. We've done it. We've made it through Under the Scope.
Yeah, have we?
We have.
Okay.
Under the Scope. So here we are.
We are.
The end of the show.
It's very sad.
It is. It's an epic show.
It is kind of an epic show. But we've got some comments to read.
Yeah.
Just a couple from the last episode. Athos Quanta writes in and says, I am 13 hours into Final Fantasy 13 and I have no idea what is going on. Glad to hear that it doesn't get cleared up at all.
I am 39 hours right now.
And?
I am on chapter 12 out of 13. And I have no fucking clue what's going on.
Do you like it, though? Is it worth your time?
It's a pretty game. And once again, I have not played Final Fantasy since PlayStation 1, so I like it for that. If I had been a longtime fan, though, I might have been annoyed. But I don't know. Maybe none of the games have made sense. I don't remember, really.
What have been like the actual reviews on the game?
Mediocre, right?
Mediocre, okay. To, you know, good mediocre, but not no like nothing five great. Out of fives.
Okay. Am I at a place for asking this, but how can Final Fantasy have like 12 games or whatever?
The Never-Ending Story had more than
what
one.
What is
movie?
The deal with Final Fantasy?
Every era has its own
Shouldn't
Final
there be one?
Fantasy.
How about the fact that there's 13 games? But well, it's number 13, but there's way more than 13 games.
Who are the ad wizards?
And none of the games are related in any way. There's no relation in any game to one another. They're all
so there's a bunch of different Final Fantasies.
Different stories, yeah, I guess.
Mike writes in and says, another job well done.
Of course.
As I'm not originally from Missouri, nor someone who doesn't know how to properly speak English, I pronounce Missouri how it is spelled, not Missouri. I can't stand those who pronounce it that way. Excited for Scope Madness. Hope for some upsets.
Were there?
Or be upset.
You can either get upsets or be upset.
There were some upsets. If you're just looking at the seedings, there are definitely, you know, some lower ranked teams that beat higher seeds. So.
I think we've got a tagline for the next Scope Madness. Get upset or be upset.
That's about it. Hey, if you're upset, you can write to us at comments@thescopeshow.com.
What a segue.
You can call our brand new voicemail line. We've transitioned over to Google Voice, and we've got a great number. It's 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. Program it into your mobile phone, Mr. Albuquerque, so you can call the new number next time.
Or as I like to call it, Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. That's, once again, 612-21-SCOPE. It's awesome. You should use it. We get a clever transcription so we can hear what Google thinks you said.
Oh, that'd be fun. We should, you know, if we get enough calls, maybe we could read those transcriptions.
We could, but then we'd be ripping off Luke Ski's podcast. He does the same thing, so.
Eek. Treading on thin ice.
I don't know, you know, it's been done, so.
Oh, okay.
If there's anything notable.
Wait,
maybe.
I wasn't the first person that thought of that?
I'm sorry to say, Shane, no, it's been done.
Jeez.
You guys copy things?
I think we should do a bit where we have... What we should do is this is my idea, by the way. We have a bit where we have pets come in and do crazy tricks and antics.
Wow. And maybe we do a top 10 list.
On the microphone.
No, a top 9 list.
Top 9 list. Right. You can also become a fan on Facebook. We have secured our vanity URL now.
We did a mega push, didn't
we?
Yeah,
we got a push.
We said enough's enough.
We
what did we do?
We
Jared and I decided.
We blasted all of our friends, but not all of them, but just certain people I thought who might be interested said, hey, you should be a fan of the Scope.
We needed over 100 fans.
And that pushed us over.
We got our
So now we are facebook.com/thescope.
Nice.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Well, you got one more fan that won't listen to the show, too. My wife.
I just noticed
that.
Became
a fan this
morning.
Good
for her.
That's right.
She can join Carrie as the two people that don't listen to the show.
That's right.
But are fans.
But connected to it in some way.
You can also follow us on Twitter. We are The Scope Show on Twitter. If you've been annoyed with all the tweets, the Scope Madness tweets, you should be happy that it's over now. And we'll be back to our, you know, like once or twice a month tweets on The Scope Show.
I got
to
say that Jared did a fantastic job as well on the tweeting. I mean, you really took the bull by the balls.
I
just shook that bull around, and you just blasted those tweets out left and right.
Wow. I tried to.
And you did a great job. So way to go, Jared.
Thank
I appreciate you stepping up on that.
Thank you. That's all I have.
That's it. Scope 87 comes to a close. I won't say mercifully, because I think this is a great show. Al participated in a fantastic way. Adam was probably not as snarky as he needed to be, but still... A great participant, and Jared,
thanks.
Rock solid as always.
It's nice when I actually bring something to the table.
You did bring something to the table. Way to go.
Was good job.
So Scope Madness is over. Foo Fighters are the champions.
Yep.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yep. To the music.
To Scope episode 87. We'll be back next time with all sorts of goodness. Later.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, Auf Wiedersehen. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.